So there was a request. First of all, I want to thank our sponsors. Yesher Koyach, thank you very much. There was a request to learn Hilchos Kashrus. Hilchos Kashrus is a very general topic. There's a lot to discuss, and we could be speaking about that for a long time. And the Mirtzah Hashem, we will talk about it in the future. But I thought that from the Shilas that have come up recently, in terms of the farmers market that seems to be coming up, and get ready because there's going to be a lot to talk about next year. Mirtzah Hashem, Shemitah is going to be a lot of shilas of produce coming in from Eretz Yisrael, and we're not even going to get to that tonight. But I do think it's very apropos, and I realize this after I decided this year, after I decided we're going to talk about kashrus. This type of kashrus, it's very apropos to discuss this specifically Erev Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which is on Thursday. Rosh Chodesh Shvat is, according to Beis Shammai, the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, but the Chidush HaRim points out, if you look at the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, it's not presented as a classic machlokes. Usually you have a machlokes, Beis Shammai Amrim this, and Beis Hillel Amrim this. The Chidush HaRim writes that Rosh Chodesh Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Sounds like, says the Chidush HaRim, in some level we all agree that something happens on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, although we practically celebrate Tu B'Shvat like Beis Hillel, but it's not like the Beis Hillel fully disagree with the Beis Shammai that once Rosh Chodesh Shvat comes in, once the Shvat season enters in, there is a change in seasons on some level. Now, if you look outside, it doesn't feel like a change in seasons. It doesn't feel like anything really has transformed. But Rashi tells us that majority of the rainfall of the season has ceased to exist and is now does not fall any longer. And therefore, that affects the growth process, the future growth process of the trees, and therefore is a line of demarcation for many of the trees, and specifically the trees. What I'm now emphasizing is the trees, which pertains to fruits, that the year that you're discussing right now will when the fruit sprouts after Tu B'Shvat, so that will be considered a different year for purposes of figuring out the years when it comes to fruits, okay? That's just why this is appropriate. We'll get back to that idea about Tu B'Shvat and its halachic ramifications, but this is very, very apropos to the season that we're in. And it's a tremendous yesod in terms of Ashkafa that we don't only believe and we don't only see things in halacha only when it's in front of you or when the fruits are actually blossoming and it's time to go apple picking. But rather the celebration is dependent on what's now planted in the ground and what now has the capability. Oh, Daniel, how you doing? And as now as the capability of he makes my day and I make his day. So it has the capability of a future growth, which is a tremendous hashkafa that the whole celebration of Tu B'Shvat, the whole celebration of Shvat, according to Beis Shammai, is knowing that there are going to be future pears, is knowing that there is going to be a future fruit. Specifically in the world of chinuch, that's something that we tremendously believe in. We don't focus specifically on the peiros that are in front of us, but we look at every day and every interaction and every response and every encouragement is going to be, even right now, I don't see it. It's the winter season. I don't see where the fruits are going to come out of my actions right now. It's not in front of me. The wind is still here. The storms are still happening. The forecast might be still very, 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 very cold and very grim and difficult to weather. But we know that there is some sap, there is some growth, and this and our endeavors right now is going to create future peiros la'asid. So that's a very important hashkafa that the whole idea of Tu B'Shvat and Rosh Chodesh Shvat represent. But let's talk tachlis. Let's talk lamaisa in terms of the farmers market. So I promise that it will be a kashrus year. And the truth is that there are many elements of kashrus. You have to really discussed kashrus in a general sense, which we won't be able to really talk about today because then we won't be able to talk about the farmer's market. But there is specific kashrus pertaining to products coming from Eretz Yisrael. What that means is the following. Products coming in for Eretz Yisrael has a very serious isser that is carried on it. If a person eats products from Eretz Yisrael after it's been, you know, finished the what's called Re'ias Pnei Abayis, when they took it from the field, they brought it into the house and they put it into piles. They finished what's called Gemar Malacha. Basically, you put it in, you're ready for produce, ready, the production is done. They took it totally out of the fields, the produce, so that now created an Isser Tevel. If a person eats that item at that point in time, he is Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. It's a very serious Avera. Okay, just to understand what that exists, what exists when a person doesn't take Trumas and Maisers. Now, it's true that Bizman Azeh, Trumas and Maisers, because of a technicality, is not going to be biblical, is not going to be Midoraisa. It's only going to be in the Rabbanon because, unfortunately, nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, but we're not living, all of us, in Eretz Yisrael. And hopefully when we go to Eretz Yisrael and all of us are there inhabiting Eretz Yisrael, so then the mitzvahs HaTluyos Ba'aretz will now change from being Derabbanan to being Deraisa. Whether or not it's Derabbanan or Deraisa just really affects the severity of it, but at the end of the day, the item is treif. The item is going to be usser. So when you have a vegetable or a fruit, for that matter, that's coming in from Eretz Yisrael, or even the truth is, even bread, or anything that grows from the ground, mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz, trumas and maisers, needs to be taken off. And if you don't take off trumas and maisers from that, so then you have the equivalent to other treif that you would have if you have other shilas that you're more familiar with, whether it's bishul akum, whether it's basar v'chalav, all the things that we know, treif, you know, you stay away from. This is treif, we're just not familiar with it. So that's why we have to make sure that we have to take care of it. That's, I know it came out as a surprise to some people that if you don't take care of the trumas and maisers, a simple buying in the farmer's market and cooking it up on your in your pot could make your pot treif. Just like other non-kosher food could make your pot treif. But there is a rectification process. And that rectification process is what I sent, the process, the procedure, what I sent in the email, which is a way that you could be metakin all of this. And you could be mafrish trumas umaisers. Before we get into the technicalities of knowing what you're being mafrish, what you're looking out for, what is this all about, I want to talk about that idea of the rectification process. There is a halacha when it comes to kashrus in general that if an isser falls into your pot of cholent or an isser falls into your pot of meatballs, that's not allowed to be there, right? So we know that it could potentially be nullified. What is the shear of nullification? I can't hear you. You're muted.
What's up, Ashish?
It's nullified in 60. Good. Excellent. But there is an exception to that rule. There are actually a few exceptions to that rule. And we're going to have to give a separate shiur, Mirtz Hashem, in the future on all of these different types of exceptions. But one of those exceptions, does anyone know what the exception I'm referring to is? Really pertains to our farmer's market and this Isser of Tevel prior to taking off and the tithes of Trumas and Maisers. Why would Tevel not be able to become nullified in Shishim? What's the problem? Why is it any worse than Basar V'Cholov? So the answer is, Chazal told us that one of the exceptions to Bittel, and this, if you play this out, if this item falls into something that's 60 times its amount in a dish that you're cooking, and it's not there anymore, you want to say that it's Bittel, you can't be Mevatel. Even a mashu, you can't be mevatel. Why? Because this is what's called in halacha a davar sheyeshlo matirin. This is an item that has the ability to become mutter. Chazal told us in the Gemara in Beitza that any item that could potentially become mutter and has a foreseeable permissibility in the future that doesn't lend itself to nullification. The Gemara talks about muktzah. Muktzah will only be usur for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, just wait till the end of Shabbos, and then you won't have to rely on the bittul that the muktzah fell in, and just wait till the end of Shabbos. It's a davar sheyesh lamatirin. So this is not a davar sheyesh lamatirin in time, but this is a davar sheyesh lamatirin through an action. How could I be matir this item? Through the rectification process. What's the rectification process? Through hafrashas trumas and maisers, being mafresh. That's a way for me to rectify it. I could create a reality over here. This is a fascinating isser. I could create a reality over here that this isser is not really usser. That it becomes what? Totally mutter. It means I take a pepper that I have, the rest of the batch of these peppers, and now I'm going to be mafresh a piece off for the Kohen and the Levi. So now what happens to the pepper that's inside the pot? That becomes totally mutter. Just like in Eretz Yisrael, when we're all going to live in Eretz Yisrael, in Mitzvah Hashem, and we're going to have peppers, majority of the peppers are going to become mutter. Once you take off what you have to take off for the Kohen, for the Levi, for everyone else, so that's the rectification process. So this has a potential permissibility. So this doesn't lend itself to nullification. Is that clear? So we have to talk about this idea of davar sheyesh lamatirin in great detail in future Hilchos Kashrus. This might affect the reason why another item might not become batal. What other item has a davar sheyesh lamatirin? That's very, very something that we all interact with. And we spend a lot of time, and we have big shahs. We get very nervous if it falls into our dishes that we're cooking before which yontif? Pesach?
Pesach.
Pesach. So one of the reasons that Pesach might be usur, even if it's a little bit, is because, wait, Pesach might be mutter afterwards. Pesach is a potential davar sheyesh lamatirin. After Pesach, it's going to be mutter. Chametz is not usur after Pesach. So that might be a davar sheyesh lamatirin, maybe, maybe not. It's for another time. But you just see this concept is something that's very, very relevant, but that's just right away. Bittul b'shishim doesn't always apply. You can't always rely on nullification. And Tevel over here, the farmer's market over here, is one of those potential examples. If you have some of the, I don't know, you're cooking a dish and you used a little bit of pepper and it got dissolved and it's not recognizable anymore, and you want to know what do you do? So the answer is you got to be mafresh trumas and maisers. Now, if you weren't mafresh trumas and maisers and you cooked the whole vegetable in the dish, it's like I'm saying, it goes into the vessel, and if you're not going to fix it, so that's going to be tevel that's going into the kli, that's going into the pot. So now that pot's going to become usur. Okay, so now the way to resolve this, I'm sorry, what?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So I bought the pomelos last week or whenever it was. I think actually they've been sitting here for 2 weeks. And when Avrami noticed the sticker, I just wanted to give them to my non-Jewish neighbor, like just right. To not deal with it. Is that not allowed?
Excellent question. So for Trumas and Maisers, that would be, or Tevel, that would be okay. But the problem is the problem is that when it comes to the pomelos, if you remember, there was another issue that I was concerned about, which pertains to fruit specifically. And I don't think we're going to have time to get into that right now. But fruits have a totally different issue that might make them much more severe, which I wasn't sure. And then I further researched that the pomelos I thought were not a problem of this situation. But potentially, if we wouldn't have known that, so then it would have been a problem. That is arla. Okay? When it comes to fruits that grow on trees, this doesn't apply to vegetables. When it comes to fruits that grow on trees, the products of the first 3 years are absolutely off limits. The fruits from any of those years are off limits, and one cannot derive any benefit from them, not only eating, but even getting any pleasure from them. Okay. So if these fruits potentially came in within the first 3 years from Eretz Yisrael, not only would you have a problem of Trumas and Maisis, you might have a problem of Orlo. We happen to have found out after subsequently that the pomelos usually are a few years later and they're not from the produce of the first 3 years. But again, just to have on the radar, just because it's you take off the Trumas and Maisis doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have an Orla issue. And if you have an Orla issue, then you have an Isser Hana. You cannot get any benefit. That's like Basar V'Cholof. You cannot give that away. You cannot sell that. You cannot derive any benefit. Okay? So that's important to just distinguish between vegetables and fruits. Again, assuming the fruits are in the first 3 years. I really don't have time to get into this, but Orla really applies in America also. It doesn't only apply in Eretz Yisrael, but the laws are a little bit different. Maybe we'll give a whole separate shiur on Orla, which really pertains to people who might plant trees in their backyards. You should contact me. There might be certain halachas that pertain to that. Okay, so let's get back right now. We're going to focus on non-Orla situations and regular vegetable situations. Again, if we find out that there's a fruit from Eretz Yisrael that's within the years of Orla, which there are some fruits that are like that. Again, there are different types of fruits. I can send you a whole list of fruits let me give you actually a list that are in here. Who's good at Hebrew here? Who knows modern Hebrew? Anyone? Don't all scream out at once.
Now that I have a child doing homework, I'm learning Hebrew.
Okay, who's good at Google Translate? Okay, let me give you a list of common fruits that have Orla problems, okay? Common fruits that have Orla problems are what's Shizifim again?
Maybe a plum?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if Shizifim is a plum, but then what's Afar Simon?
Peach.
Oh, peach. Okay. So plum potentially?
Isn't Afar Sake peach?
You see, this is where I get all confused with this. Oh, Afar Sake peach is also Chash Orla. Papaya.
Afar Simon is persimmon.
Which is what?
Persimmon, it's like that orange.
That's orange.
Okay. Basically, you guys don't get it.
Okay. I love persimmon.
Okay.
It's like a bad tomato.
And I don't know if any of these other are anything that you buy. Superior.
Is that in Hebrew?
Yeah.
Yeah, I buy that all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I don't recognize some of the other ones. But basically, the ones that usually are not Chash Orla, which is important, lemons are not usually, apples, oranges, clementines. I didn't actually know this. Years ago, I gave a whole shiur. There was Costco clementines from Israel. And we all thought that, or Solowski and I both got the same Shiloh, and we both thought that we were told actually from one of the kosher organizations that they thought it was Orla because it's clementines, it was small. And at the time, we thought maybe you had to burn the clementines from Costco. Because actually, Orla, you have to burn. You can only not derive benefit. So it was a fascinating situation. But it turns out it wasn't Orla. It was the fourth year. Mangoes are okay. Mishmash is also some fruit that we eat. I forget which one it is. Afar Simon, you said, is what? A peach?
Persimmon.
Oh, persimmon is not okay. Is okay. Te'ena, tamar, zayas, all those. So those are the common ones. I'll just tell you quickly the other ones that I have a list of here. I don't recognize superior plim. I don't think is a plum. I don't know what that is. Pei lamed yud yud mem. Shizifim we said is what? Is maybe a peach.
Shizifim is plum.
Is plum and afar sake we said is.
A persimmon.
Okay, I'm a little confused what Shizifim are and Afar Sakes are, but you'll figure that out. Okay, so you have to know which ones are Arla and which ones are not. That could have a tremendous amount of, you know, that there's no way to rectify the Arla issue.
Afar Sake is a peach.
Afar Sake is peach. So it could happen. you know, our forsaken speech. But this is all in the fruit category. These netter of the issue of Arla will never apply to vegetables. Okay, so now let's just, with the remaining time that we have, let's just talk practically in terms of some of the issues, just to make ourselves a little bit more familiar with the process, what we're looking out for. So when I began this year, I spoke about the fact that it's important to know the year that the item is from. So when do you decide the year? So when it comes to a vegetable, it's the halacha is you go basar lakita, okay? Lakita means when was this harvested? When was this item grabbed, okay? If this item was grabbed after Rosh Hashanah, so that means this item is from this year, from after Rosh Hashanah. If the item was nilkat, was grabbed last year after Rosh Hashanah, so then it's a product of last year, okay? Why do I care what year an item is in? Who cares? So first of all, number one, you care is because you can't be mafresh trumas and maaseres from one vegetable. I don't have to be mafresh from every vegetable I have. I have to be mafresh from one of the vegetables for the rest of the of the package, for the rest of the pile of fruits that I have. What they used to do when they made, this is the way they used to make parnasa. They used to come in from the field, and they used to bring in their pile of apples and their pile of produce and their pile of harvesting and their wheat, whatever it was, right? Their olives, their whatever it was, the grapes. And they used to harvest. They used to harvest and give a percentage to the Kohen, a percentage to the Levi. And that's the way they used to harvest. But they wouldn't harvest off of everything. They would take a piece off of the group. So therefore, you want to consolidate everything. You bought something from the farmer's market. You have a group of peppers. So you're going to be mafresh from the peppers. So first of all, I'm not going to be mafresh from the peppers onto the oranges or from the peppers onto the carrots. I'm going to be mafresh every min bifnei atzmo. But I'm also going to only be mafresh on shana bifnei atzmo. The halacha is we're not mafresh mishana el chaverta. We don't have a separation of tithing from one year to the next. That halacha is probably not so practical because you're probably not going to have produce that's going to sit around from the farmer's market from one year to the next. But that's the first reason why a person needs to know what year was this in? When was it harvested? When is it coming from? The other reason, and this is so important, to know when it was harvested, is because not every year the tithing and the separating are parallel from one year to the next. And this is where it's important to get this down. I wrote this down in the email, but I just want you to understand where this is coming from and how you have to differentiate in different years. What's so beautiful about this halacha is that it becomes so relevant to keep on your radar where are we holding in the Shemitah cycle. What year is this? Is this year number one? Is this year number two? Is this year number three? Is this year number four? Is this year number five? Is this year number six? And obviously, it's important to keep in mind what's happening next year, which is year number seven, which is Shemitah, which is a totally different ballgame. Everything becomes different when it comes to produce from Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year. Potentially, all the vegetables could become usher to eat. We're not going to talk about that right now. But that's important. So let's take right now, which what we're in right now is 1 to 6. So I got to know, what am I separating? When was this from? Was this harvested now or was this harvested before Rosh Hashanah last year? That's question number one. Question number two, that's when it comes to vegetables. I look at the time of harvesting. But what about when it comes to fruits? Then I don't look at the harvesting. Then I look at something else, the sprouting. That's what's called chanato, okay? So the years are going to be configured differently when it comes to fruits, as opposed to when it comes to vegetables. And that chanato extends itself all the way to Tu B'Shvat, or Kon D'Beis Shammai this Thursday, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And if it was nichnat, if it sprouted before Shvat, so then it's part of the last year, okay? So that would depend this year after Tu B'Shvat, it's going to sprout, so then that's going to be the produce from the sixth year. Beforehand would be the produce from the fifth year. Right now, currently, the shilas that we're having that will be from the sixth year will be vegetables. Vegetables were already harvested from after Rosh Hashanah. that will be a 6-year vegetable. If you were to get fruits now from Eretz Yisrael, which you all got, right? Erica, you just got a pomelo. So we verified that there's no Arla issue, but there is still a Trumas and Meiser issue. But I have to know which year is the Trumas and Meiser from. So I can tell you right now, it's not from the 6th year. It's from the 5th year. Okay? So, Rabbi, if you're telling me I'm not going to be mafresh from 1 year to the next, why am I different? How do we differentiate between 1 year to the next? So this is a lot of information that you just have to pretty much know. It's on the email, but this is something that that you just have to know about the Shemitah cycle, okay? Year one, every year for Trumas and Maaseres, and if you don't take off Trumas and Maaseres, again, it's going to make your pot not kosher, serious kashrus issues, okay? And not only that, but I shouldn't even talk only about kashrus issues. Let's say, Erica, you have a pomelo, right? Someone asked me this. I think this is someone else added this, Shiloh, because they also bought pomelos. And they realized on Shabbos that they didn't take off Trumas and Maaseres, and it's from Eretz Yisrael. You found the sticker on Shabbos, okay? So we'll get around the sticker issue of taking off a sticker from the fruit, okay? That's a separate Shiloh of Borer, but we'll talk about that another time. But now I know this is a produce of Eretz Yisrael. That item is muktzah. That item is muktzah, and you do not have the ability to do Hafrashas, Trumas, and Maaseres on Shabbos or Yontif. The Rambam tells us that separating Trumas and Maaseres is a kinyan. It's a form of acquisition, which is Aser on Shabbos and Yontif. And it's also a tikkun. It's fixing a group of fruits that were otherwise prohibited. Prior to tithing, this was prohibited. So right now, you're doing a halachic tikkun. You're doing something. You're like fixing your window. That's tikkun mona. That's something that's aser on Shabbos. So hafrashas, trumas, and maaseres cannot be done on Shabbos and Yontif. It has to be taken care of before Shabbos and Yontif, unless someone set up a condition in a particular case. But normal situations, you can't separate it. So that item becomes aser. And that item becomes muktzah. You can't hold that fruit. That's a problem. That's a separate shiloh of muktzah. So I'm just pointing all this out to know that this is very relevant, not only because it's going to be treif in my pot, it's going to cause tarfas in my food. It's also going to cause muktzah shilohs in my house. This is really something that the farmer's market is really changing in our kitchens. Give me one second. So let's just talk what I've been alluding to. What is the calendar and how do you do the tithing? How do you do the separation? Anyone have the time?
8:30.
Sorry, just Mike. 8:30? Okay.
33.
Oh, boy. So the separating is like this. I have to take off Truma, and I have to take off Meiser, okay? But what does that mean? Truma means the part that's going to go to the Kohen. If I eat Truma, I'm also Chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's not something that you want to eat, okay? Truma has to be taken care of, not eaten by a non-Kohen, okay? Now, I'm not going to give it to a Kohen practically, unfortunately, because there are no Tahor Kohanim Bizman Hazeh. Just like I don't give what else to the Kohen that you guys all are involved with?
Challah.
I don't give challah. I burn it. And here also, I discard it in a respectful way. So we're going to talk about exactly how much and in what way. So every year, I'm going to, number one, take care of the Kohen. I'm going to take care of the Levi. That is off the bat, no matter what year, except for Shemitah, you're going to go with Truma and Maaser Rishon. What that means is you would give a piece to the Kohen, and then you would give the first 10% to the Levi, okay? But there's no Levium around, and there's no one really collecting for the Levium, and I don't have to give it to them because they have to really prove to me that they're a Levi. I just have to separate it and make sure that it's designated that that's considered Maaser Rishon, and then I'm okay, okay? So right now, what do I have to keep on my radar? I'm going to separate a piece for the Truma, a piece for the Levi, which will be the first 10%. Okay, everyone with me? So that basically included 10%. Okay. Now, the Levi also had chiyuvim to the Kohen. That was what's called Trumas Meiser. Okay. He had to give 10% of his 10%. Meiser mina Meiser. Okay. So the Levi had to give Truma to the Kohen. So now we don't have a Levi now. I don't have to give it to a Levi, but I still have to take care of the chiyuv that the Levi had to the Kohen. If I don't give that, that's going to be still tevel, and that's going to be some of the the produce wasn't fixed in its complete form, so I have to give for the Levi's chelik also. So how much is going to be 10% of 10%? That's going to be 1%, right? So now, off the bat, that's called what? Truma's Meiser. Anything with the name Truma, I better get rid of because I can't eat that. Everything else is really mutter for me to eat. I just have to make sure to separate. So that's why if you look back at all the emails that I sent, and I sent two different versions of different emails, but it's all the same idea, different years. Basically, the idea is as follows. Get rid of the Truma. Make sure you separate the Truma. Make sure you separate all the Meisers. Meiser Rishon, Truma, and Truma's Meiser, right? What does that come out to be of how about how much has to be discarded? So how much has to be discarded and taken off as Truma is a Mashu. Since no one's collecting, there's no Kohanim that are Tahar, right now I don't have to give a significant amount. I can take off a piece, and technically that would work also for Challah, to be honest. That's not our minig. That's not the halacha lemaisa. I know you take off more, but you're really technically allowed to take off a piece, and that would permit the item. So that's the truma. So that's a mashu. Then 1% is going to be truma's meiser. So what is going to be discarded when I'm going to separate at the end of the day is going to be the truma and the truma's meiser. That's what we refer to as a little more than 1%. The 1% is the what? Is the chelek of the Levi giving his truma to the Kohen. That's called the truma's meiser. And the little more was my original truma. So that's a little more than 1% is truma and truma's meiser. Good? But to get to the truma's meiser, I needed to first designate a portion, and that's either on the north side or the south side. That's where we would designate all the different locations. Even though I'm not actually physically taking it off, for the Levi's aspect, which is the Meiser Rishon. So that is going to take place every single year in order to take care of the Isser Tevel. Okay? Some of it will be discarded. Some of it won't be discarded. It's already separated. The Levi, if in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, he would come and collect it. Now he can't collect it, so now I'm able to eat it. The Gemara says I'm allowed to eat the Levi's portion. He can invite me over for a meal. A Kohen can't invite me over for a meal. I am not allowed to eat Truma. Kohen cannot have me as his guest to eat from his Challah of Truma. But a Levi could have me over and eat the Meiser Rishon. So I designate it. I remove the Isser Tevel from the peppers or fruits that I bought. And now it's already on its way to being mutter. That's going to happen every year, year 1 to 6. Here's where things change. When it comes to year 3, when it comes to year 1, 2, 4, and 5, the next 10%, after you take off the Levi's amount, will be what? Meiser Sheni. So you're taking off Truma in year 1 and 2. You're taking off Meiser Rishon. Now that's for the Levi. I got to take off the Truma's Meiser. Discard the Truma and the Truma's Meiser put it in a plastic bag, throw it away. Make sure that no one, Chas V'Sholem, eats that because that would carry the Isser Truma on it. Now I separated the Meiser Rishon, okay? Now I got one more separation that I have to do, which is Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni, the halacha is that I have to take these, I'm allowed to eat the Meiser Sheni, but not at home. I have to take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. That's the halacha of Meiser Sheni, okay? Now, I don't always want to do that. And in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was a big schlep to take all your fruits and all your vegetables up to the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So what we used to do is we had something called a pidyon. We would redeem the kedusha from the Meiser Sheni onto a coin that's common currency, a dime, common currency in our currency, right? That's used. And then that kedusha falls on that dime, okay? Now, there are a few different halachos that pertain to redeeming. It has to be that the amount that you're redeeming, the value that you're redeeming, should ideally be more than 5 cents worth. That should be more than a Shava Pruta. And if you don't have that ability, so you have to redeem it on a coin that already had some redemption to it, which is called a Pruta Chamura. We don't always have that, and people don't always have that available. So what Rabbi Willig does in Riverdale, he allows people to use his Pruta. He gives people permission to use his coin in his house, if you're not sure the value of the amount that it might be underneath the amount of a 5 cents, so you just say, I'm going to be pulled it onto the coin in Rabbi Willig's house. Alternatively, if you know it's going to be more than a pruta, a person could be pulled it on his own coin. The only thing you have to make sure is that you have to keep an eye on that coin. That coin now has kedusha. That coin has to be defaced and has to be thrown into a yam, should never be used. It has kedusha on it. It's like hektish, and you have to make sure that you don't use it for your own personal use. So people like to mark the coin, make sure they don't put it and get it into the wrong hands of the kids. Make sure that, but that's the way you redeem it in year one, year two, year four, and year five. Okay? So now I understand. Oh, so now I got to figure out what this vegetable, when was it harvested? Was it harvested after Rosh Hashanah in year one or year two or year three? Why do I care? Because in year three, I don't have the chiyuv of Maaser Sheni. Or this year, I don't have the chiyuv of Maaser Sheni because this year is year six. What's my obligation this year? What's called Maaser Ani. I separate the next tenth after the Maaser Rishon. I have to separate not for myself to eat in Yerushalayim, but rather I have to separate it to give it to staka, to an ani that I find. So
Rebel's on, it's 8:42.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
There's 9:15, Mom.
As long as they know to wait for you.
I thought it was 8:45.
They actually did last week. I wonder if they're gonna do it this week. Should I? Okay. So we have to create a little bit of a better system with the warning. So that's in terms of the Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, which is in the third and the sixth year. So Maaser Ani, you're allowed to eat. There's no kedusha to the Maaser Ani. You just have to give a little tzedakah to make sure that that value is given to Aniyim. So that's important. That's the way I figure out. When is this vegetable that I just got from the farmer's market? It was harvested in the sixth year. So I know the third thing I'm going to separate, the fourth thing I'm going to separate is not going to be Maaser Sheni this year. It's going to be Maaser Ani. But if it's a fruit, so then I know, no. Fruit was before Tu Bishvat. This whole issue with the produce coming from Eretz Yisrael happened before Tu Bishvat. So, right? So when was it? When was the produce from? It might be from last year. So then it doesn't necessarily have the Maaser Ani. It might have Maaser Sheni on it. Yeah.
It's Tu Bishvat in Eretz Yisrael. That's from that Tu Bishvat.
Well, Tu Bishvat in Eretz Yisrael is Tu Bishvat in America.
It's not meaning the time, the exact time of when Tu Bishvat starts in Eretz Yisrael is different.
You're never going to have a Shiloh that you're going to know whether or not it blossomed in the... Yeah, it's Eretz Yisrael, but it's never going to be Yisrael. Remembered. Yeah. Okay. Who am I speaking to? I don't have a video camera.
Sorry, it's Eric.
You should know I give Musar to the men when I can't give with eye contact, but I have Rachmanis on the woman.
I'm sorry. Nothing happens to the knife that we're using to cut off.
Oh. So that really gets into the general kashrus issue, which would take another few hours to discuss. But technically, there's a big misnomer when it comes to knives, okay? If you are not cutting something hot, but you are cutting something cold, and that is a regular fruit or vegetable, let's take a pepper or a pomelo, you know, or a regular non-onion type food or sharp food, then there is no problem with that knife. We say to wash off that knife and it's totally kosher. In order for there to be an absorption into the knife, although there is pressure from the knife, that is not sufficient to make the knife have a blia of tevel and have a blia of iser. Now that we have a little bit more time, because you made sure that I missed Maariv, So the importance is right now not only to know the calendar and not only to know the schedule and how you're separating and making sure that you're doing all these things right. So let's just take it right now. What am I going to do? I'm going to do every stage of the separation. First, I'm going to be mafrish a mashuhu of truma, right? I take off a little bit more than that 1%. The mashuhu is for the kohen, is for truma. That's going to be discarded. Now, next, I have to separate my Sirishon, which will be 10% in that section, in, let's say, the west section or the left side of the group of fruits that I have set in front of me. Okay, good. Now, I'm going to include that with the 1%, because now I have to separate the Levi's Trumas Meiser. That 1% will be the Meiser, Mina Meiser, a tenth of the tenth that I just separated after I separated Truma, Meiser Rishon, and now I separated the second element for the Kohen, which will be Trumas Meiser. So anything with the word Truma, what am I going to do with? I'm going to wrap that up and discard it. Make sure no one eats that. So that's the 1% plus of the Trumas Meiser and the Truma that's now going into the garbage in a respectful fashion. Okay. But I'm not done. I just designated the Meiser Rishon. I still, depending on the year, have to figure out in another section of the fruits whether or not I'm going to designate another 10% as Meiser Sheni, depending on the year, if it's 1, 2, 4, or 5. And if not, so then it will be 3 or 6. So then I will do Meiser Ani, which will be designated to a separate section. If I have Meiser Sheni, I also have to, in order, before I eat it, because I'm eating it outside of Yerushalayim, I have to redeem it onto a coin and make sure that I safeguard that coin in a special area and do the redemption appropriately. So that is, in a nutshell, all of the halachas and Trumas Meiser. What happened post facto? We had a few of these shilas. What happens post facto? I already cooked it. The tevel is in the walls of the pot. So can I do Trumas Meisers on the walls of the pot? So the answer is yes. The answer is you can do a hafrasha on the walls of the pot. But here there's an interesting shaila, and this is fascinating, okay? Preferably, according to many poskim, including Rabbi Shechter, Rabbi Yashiv holds like this as well, you can only separate neblios of the pot when it's on the same day as the cooking happened, which means the absorptions are alive. The absorptions are a ben yomo, okay? Usually, ben yomo is the last thing that you want to hear, right? Whenever you have a kasha shaila, the first thing you want to tell the rabbi is, oh, by the way, it's not a ben yomo, okay? It's after 24 hours, right? That's going to alleviate a lot of problems. We'll explain why another time. But a lot of times that's going to, not all the times, but a lot of times that's going to help you out a lot. Over here, it's the exact opposite. Because you want things to be fresh, because you want to be able to see a fruit or vegetable here, even though you can't really touch it, and you can't really feel it, and you can't really see it, but I still know that it's there. Why? Because it's fresh. It's a ben yomo. So now I could view the peppers, even though they're not in front of me, when I take a piece of this other pepper that I have, I could now be mafresh also on the blias in the wall if they're ben yomo. If they're not a ben yomo, that's already a question whether or not you could be mafresh anymore. Maybe that's like being mafresh truma min ara ala yofa. Maybe it's not going to be mutter. So then what would your options be? You would have to do hagala and kasher the pot in the correct manner that it needs to be kasher, depending on other issues, whatever. But you would kasher like you would normally kasher. So that would be the best way to rectify that situation. That's why a few of you had shilas. I specifically asked, when did it happen? If it's before the buzzer, if it was before the 24-hour period, so then you could do a hafrasha, and that's included with the leftover vegetables and fruits that you didn't necessarily cook up yet.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
If you cooked it already, so let's say it's the next day, so now your pot, I mean, we ask you a question, but let's say it's no good. Can you still do hafresh on the food and eat the food, or is the food gone?
Sure. Okay. That's only whatever, what I just said only pertains to blias.
Okay.
Yeah, the food's just like the peppers in your vegetable bin that you can still do hafresh on.
Okay, thank you.
And again, when you're doing hafresh, you want to try to gather all your food and put it together. You know, even if you have peppers and bins over here and there, you want to try to collect all them, put them together. So now you can now designate that this piece, these pieces that I'm taking off or that I'm designating is applying to the whole group of the produce that I brought in. And it's all the hafrash is going to be chal on all of that.
So you don't have to take a piece off each one.
No, no, no. You just have to you have to try to connect them. It's called an halacha min amukaf. You have to take the piece that you're going to take off. It should be somehow relating to the other items that you're now are part of your kri, are part of your produce, are part of your package. So now if they're all over, it's one's upstairs, one's downstairs. You know, like it's not going to help. You want it to be, maybe with the evit will help, but you want it to be all in front of you ideally, so that will work. Okay, but again, I want to stress this all should be taken care of before Shabbos and Yom Tov. You can't take care of this on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's no hafrashas, trumas, and maizes on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, and the items are mukta if they are tevel. Okay. Yeah.
The trumas meiser, like is that a chiyav on the Levi?
It's a chiyav on the Levi, but a Yisrael has the ability to pata the Levi for that, and we have the chiyav to do that because otherwise it's going to be tevel.
So in a matzav where, meaning like why would you be? I don't understand. Why would you be chayav? Meaning I understand that you can, but that you have.
Because the item is tevel without it.
And we have a chiv to make sure things aren't tevel.
100%. Tevel's treif. That's right. Before you came on.
Tevel's bad news.
Tevel's treif. Right. That's the first thing that I stressed. This is real isser. This is not just like, hey, let me get involved in and let me feel Zionistic and you know do some Eretz Yisrael mitzvahs. This has nothing to do with that. This is real isser over here. Like this is the real deal. This is not just some chumrah from a crazy rabbi in Fairlawn. This is really going to make your pots trafe or not. So that's why we had to have this year. It's also going to affect mukzah issues. It's also going to affect generally, the mixtures in your pot, you know, in terms of bittul b'shishim, like we spoke about. A lot of different issues that are relevant. We didn't really get to touch on Arla enough, but Mirtz Hashem will do that another time. And
is it safe to assume that all the kosher supermarkets?
Who's talking?
I yell at.
Oh, sorry. Hey, hi.
Is it safe to assume that the kosher supermarkets are taking care of this?
Excellent question. So in the kosher supermarkets, it is safe to assume we require, and actually it was just recently, whatever. We were actually, last week I did an inspection somewhere. And I found some produce from Eretz Yisrael and I told them to get rid of it because we require them not to order produce from Israel because we do not want people to get stuck with this. And if they don't know how to deal with it, then they're going to potentially, it's all because of these issues. So, but a lot of these kosher establishments, that's going to be relevant to, you know, vegetables in a wrap or, correct me if I'm wrong, but none of you are buying your fruits and vegetables from, you know, Cedars Market or kosher or food showcase, right?
Sometimes I do.
What, Cedar Market has all fruits and vegetables like you can buy it?
Yeah.
Okay, so then, yeah. So usually you could assume that that's not going to be from Eretz Yisrael. I mean, if you see a sticker from Eretz Yisrael, please call me. But if the signs, we switched around some of the signs in some of the stores to make it more recognizable. But just keep in mind in terms of all the signs that the RCBC puts out in terms of what to use the vegetables for and to be aware of.
Where are there
bug issues, obviously, in terms of vegetables, but that's really for another topic. But yeah, in terms of the kosher supermarkets, you could usually feel safer that they are told not to order from Eretz Yisrael. Yeah,
and
that's why.
And if things don't have stickers in the farmer's market, should we just stay away from it?
I don't think so. I don't think you have to assume. I think rove of the produce is usually from America. And
so if it doesn't have stickers, we could assume that it's not from Israel.
Unless you hear about it being a problem, I don't think you have to stay away. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, if there was a significant amount, so then we would have a problem. So we would have to figure out something.
Even if it's a pepper without a sticker, because like the peppers seem to be the ones that pop up that are from Israel.
Right, but I'm saying, but how, I mean, you guys would know better than me. I still would think it's very, very rare. It's still like, you know, majority of the produce that they're shipping in. I mean, I tried to have a conversation with this guy, you know, I think it was after Pesach, to try to, there was some bread there, and I was trying to be mavar about like where he gets his bread from, Chametz Shel Pesach. He's Asian, right? He's the owner there, like, right?
Never met them.
The conversation, like, we didn't communicate so well. But, you know, but I don't know. You tell me if, you know, if there's such a significant amount, so then in a Hanami. But I would assume right now, majority of the time, you could rely on a Rov, a majority of the time, this is not produce from Eretz Yisrael. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go first. I don't know if this is a dumb question, but like, how does it work that we're setting it aside for the Kohen, but we're putting it in the garbage?
Good. It's not a dumb question. It's a very good question. The answer is the same exact thing that you're doing with the challah. The challah also has to go to the Kohen. But this is not your fault. The Kohen has no ability to eat it, Bizman Azeh. He's tummy. Mm-hmm. And Tumah V'Tahara is not going to be fixed until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. And we have a Parah Aduma. So there's no way for him to eat it. So there's two dimensions to Trumas HaMaisers. There's the Isser of Tevel, which exists in the crop. Once you finish the production process, you bring it into the house, you finish the harvesting, and now there's an Isser Tevel that sets into that item. That can only be rectified if there's separations done. Now there's a separate issue. After the separations, now I have a chiyuv to give it to the Kohen. I have a mitzvah to give it to the Kohen. That's not going to affect the kashrus of the item. That's a mitzvah nesina. There's the hafrasha, the separation, which eradicates the iser tevel. And then there's the mitzvah, the mitzvah to be no saint, to give it. So if I have a Kohen, that could get it. So that's great. I have a pidyon ben, I'll give it to a Kohen because there's no issue of Tumah V'Tahara. He just takes 5 coins. But if you have an issue, bizman hazeh, of eating challah, you issue bizman hazeh, of eating truma, so then the Kohen doesn't get it. So then I just have to take care of the iser tevel. I have to discard it. And when the Beis HaMikdash comes, I'm also going to make sure to give it to the Kohen. Okay. Right? The Summer Shonen might even look at them as two separate mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are Afrasha, mitzvahs Nesina. So Machlek is the Ram and the Ravid, the Ram and the Ramban. But for our intents and purposes, we need to take care of the kashrus issue. Right now, Bizman Hazeh, when it comes to eating, this is not a situation that they could eat it anyways. So therefore, we're not going to be Mekayim the mitzvahs Nesina. Okay? Yes, Serena.
What about like Fairway?
What about Fairway?
I don't really know what a farmer's market is.
There's the farmer's market in Fairlawn. There was some produce in one of the supermarkets here, a Geisha supermarket.
Right, but I'm saying like, is Fairway fine? Like a supermarket?
You gotta look at the stickers. You gotta look at the stickers. Oh, okay. In general, you should look at stickers. Always look at stickers. You know, what Ayala pointed out is you don't really have to be so concerned when it comes to stores that are under the RCBC Ashkacha because we try to enforce that ourselves. But in any place that you're going to be buying in ShopRite or in any of these places that you're going to be buying produce and they have no issue of bringing in from Eretz Yisrael, so then you got to look at stickers. And you got to already become accustomed to looking at stickers because I could tell you right now, I just remember from last time Shemitah. I mean, the halachas are all going to change next year. So just get yourself comfortable with being on the lookout and spread the word, please, for people knowing vegetables, all these fruits, what are the halachas? How do I have to deal with it? There's going to be a lot of different halachas that are going to pertain to next year. And if you like shopping the farmer's market, which I hear a lot of you do, and my wife does also, so that's something that you want to make sure that you're being aware of. It is a mitzvah to eat Peirush Shviyis, but it comes with a lot of responsibility also. So that's why we take the easy route when it comes to the RCBC, and we just say, sorry, no Eretz Yisrael produce. This is too complicated. But it's not a problem. But you just have to be aware and you have to be on the lookout. All right? Okay. Ayasha Kayach. Thank you, everyone. And Mirtz Hashem, everyone should have a beautiful Rosh Chodesh.